My name is Reinhard Bonnke, and I want to welcome you to my Full Flame film series. Today is the 5th of 10 episodes. I've created these films to equip you and millions of other Christians to win the world for Jesus Christ. In previous episodes, we visited some of the world's most beautiful places, the Great Wall of China, Rio de Janeiro in Brazil, and the pyramids in Egypt. We will continue that journey today, but more importantly, we are discovering the purposes God created us for and His principles for achieving them. Let's review where we left off last week, and then we'll get started. From the time I was a boy, my heart belonged in Africa. But who was I in the face of this vast continent? I was just a young missionary whose vision did not stretch to the horizon, but only to a small flock of people. Then the Lord gave me a vision of a blood-washed Africa. I was to take the gospel from Cape Town to Cairo, me, a small missionary. The key was faith, to trust the Lord and to act according to what you believe. So that is what I did, and what followed would sometimes astonish me. The results could not be credited to any man.
What a privilege to be able to have a share in winning Africa for Jesus. And I believe that this is only the beginning. I believe that God has far greater blessings in store for us.
In John 20, verse 29, Jesus said, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Faith resting on seeing needs to continue to see to keep it going. A seeing kind of faith soon withers. We live by faith, not by sight. The director came into the prayer meeting and said, "This Friday we've got to pay the coal bill. It's £1,000. We don't have money. Let's pray and trust God for the money." Mm-hmm. And I thought by myself, how is that going to happen? How shall that work? Friday came, and in walked the director and said, "God has answered our prayer. Amen. God has delivered us." Amen. That's the very term they always used. And I said, "What? I want to become a man of faith myself." They stressed there. They said, "This is the school of faith. So if you learn to trust God in the school, you can trust Him anywhere in the world."
That's right.
And I said, "I want to become a man of faith. I want to learn this lesson." And I think that was the most precious and important lesson I learned right there. Mm-hmm. So, how do I start? I thought... In the last episode, our theme was how to develop your faith, your trust in God. To achieve the great things God has in store for your life, you must learn how to depend on Him. Had I not learned how to trust God for the small things early in my ministry, I could never have trusted Him for the resources needed to win millions to Christ. Faith is the connector to God's unlimited resources. Let's continue with the second part of film 3.
In Luke 17, verse 5, the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. Christians have wanted that ever since. Faith in bulk. Yes. So what is the reply of Jesus? If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Mm-hmm. That must have puzzled the apostles. They wanted big faith, but he spoke of the smallest thing they knew. Perhaps you've never seen the mustard seed. You may need your glasses for one. The people to whom Jesus spoke knew seeds very well. Mm-hmm. It was an agricultural society. Jesus spoke their farming language. Today we are a high-tech society and our expressions are scientific. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Today, Jesus would use our common speech. He spoke 2,000 years ago about the mustard seed, a small thing with mighty potency. Maybe today the Lord would talk about a microchip or fuse to illustrate mm-hmm. his mm-hmm. teaching. If you have faith as small as an electric fuse, you could transplant a tree from soil to sea. Like the mustard seed, the value of a fuse is not in breadth or length. The key is conductivity. Faith transfers the power of God to where it is needed. Let me illustrate it like this. Great power lines stretch across a whole country, carrying perhaps 110,000 volts on a single cable. Day and night, the huge power turbines are feeding the vast electrical power grid. Then, in our homes, a tiny sliver of wire is often the difference between light, warmth, and energy, and sitting in a dark, cold room. The vital link is the fuse. The fuse is made of metal, such as silver wire, which offers low resistance to current. Low resistance means high conductivity. Translated into the spiritual, the lower our resistance to the Word of God, the higher the power rating. The higher our resistance and disobedience to the Word, the lower the operational power of God. A fuse with high resistance would either carry no power at all, or else soon blow. If we say we believe in the Word of God, but disobey it, we negate our faith. It blows the fuse. The power of God is little when the Word of God means little to us. Whatever else may be true, one thing is absolutely beyond contradiction. It is that Christianity is a power religion, or it is nothing.
Yes.
To be believers, we should know in what we believe and who we believe. The most basic lesson is that we must take the Word of God at face value. Without knowing God's will, faith is impossible. The Word is the eternal will of God. To question Scripture is to question the only guide we have and to question God. And so, as we see, our faith in God's word is directly proportionate to the power of God working through us. We can't generate power by anything we do, music, worship, or atmosphere. It is impossible for Christians even to meet in his name without Christ being there in power. If it were our work to produce the power of God, we would be the power generators. But Christ gave us power. Mm-hmm. We are not called to go into the entire world with our own little power plant so that folk will think how wonderful we are. We can parade our own charisma and make the sparks fly for an hour, but soon our generator will run out of fuel and begin coughing and dying. We are not generators, but conductors. Jesus Christ is the fullness who fills all in all. Mm-hmm. We are channels, not the source. God does not need any of our energy dynamos. He has his own, two of them, right here on earth. The cross and the empty tomb. Power flows from them through those sources day and night without power cuts or breakdowns. The voltage is unfailing and reliable. There is no fluctuating flow from the Father of lights with whom is no variableness. Here's our full equipment. The spiritual energies of the cross and the resurrection. The power lines of the Word of God. The fuse of our faith. The vital link. The greatness of God. The greatness of the work of Christ. The greatness of the Word of God are all there. But without faith, as small as a fuse wire, none of that greatness avails. The circuit is broken. The power bridge is down. If the faith fuse fails, the dynamic of God is defused and will be refused by those to whom we preach. Take the word, put in the faith fuse, and the power of God comes through. There will be light, warmth, energy, salvation, healing, strength, and blessing. Our faith is no towering sensation that everybody sees and gasps. It is the hidden fuse. But by it, the energies of heaven flow into the world. Anybody can believe God when God is already moving. Real faith acts when God doesn't seem to be moving. Understand this. God loves the man and woman who gamble on his help. This is the formula for triumph, blessing, and revival. The Bible's greatest illustration of fearful unbelief and fearless faith lasted 40 years. It was like watching a 40-act drama on the stage depicting the total bankruptcy of faith. We still see them in our mind's eye, those camping tribes of Israel. Many a time their wanderings took them close to the border of the promised land. It wasn't that they didn't believe they could go over. They knew it was their right, for God had given the land to them. They were thoroughly convinced. Their faith, that far, was perfect. But their faith had a fatal flaw. The worm of fear was at the heart of it. Their faith was useless while they feared. So most of them never got there. They panicked. They murmured about their lot, but hadn't enough faith to change it. They whined when they could have dined. The episode of the spies had 10 unbelieving and 2 full of faith. This is probably a normal average. 2 out of 12 believe and get what God has for them. When Jesus said, "Fear not, only believe," it was a profound analysis of this emotion. Normally we say, "Don't be afraid, be brave, have courage." Jesus didn't just say, "Don't be afraid." He knew very well that fear is a part of man's makeup. He said, "Fear not, only believe." During periods of melancholy, when, as scripture says, neither stars nor moon appear, trust in God is the anchor of the soul. Psalm 56, verse 3 says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in you." That is the time to trust. Unfortunately, some even by nature are nervous, prone to depression and even panic. There are famous examples such as Tchaikovsky or even the Prince of Preachers, Charles Spurgeon, who knew the grip of depression and would make his students laugh because otherwise, he said, he would weep. The writer of Psalm 42 may have been temperamentally afflicted in the same way, but again, faith came to his rescue. He said, "My tears have been my food day and night. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me?" He seems to have had no rational explanation for his depression. However, he knew where to get strength. He spoke to himself, "Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." This illustrates a major lesson. Faith is not a feeling. When danger comes, fear is inevitable. When our bodily chemistry sets up the sense of impending disaster, or we suffer heavy blows and our circumstances are oppressive and dark, or when pain and illness sit with us at the fireside, fear and alarm come as a natural cause and effect. What then does faith do? It takes the shackles from our ankles, and we challenge their paralyzing grip and go ahead anyway. I have had to put this into practice myself many times over the years. Sometimes the circumstances will surround you in such a way that it seems that you could not have possibly heard God correctly when you launched out. But that is exactly the time to act in accordance with what you believe, not in accordance with what you feel. With God, fear will not stop us. We overcome. If we are believers, nothing can alter it, no matter what hammers or bruises us. Jesus said his followers were to give their lives for him, but not a hair of your head shall perish. You, the real you, believes God. The sea's surface may be ruffled, but the depths are still. Faith operates without emotional reactions. It secretly imparts strength of mind and peace of spirit. You don't go under, but over. Faith gets us off the hook of fear. Faith isn't just for Sunday, but for life. Faith is not just for transplanting mountains. It is for living. God gives us grace to live if we believe. The just shall live by faith. Faith is the plus of life. According to our call and sphere of service, God gives us faith. We have faith for every task, whatever God wants us to do. We don't read that Smith Wigglesworth parted the sea like Moses, or that Moses healed the sick like Wigglesworth. We don't read that George Müller brought down fire from heaven or challenged the monarch on his throne like Elijah. But Elijah didn't feed 2,000 orphans by faith. If mountains must be moved, there will be faith to do it, and not until then. There are leaders exercising ministries literally affecting nations. Not all see mighty healings. That is not their gift. But they head evangelism into half the world. Their faith gift is conspicuous. My friend, even when we labor unnoticed in some remote corner of the world, the same gift will operate. With God, all things are possible to you. Only believe. Welcome back. What you've just seen addresses one of the important elements of the Christian walk, faith. Little can be accomplished for the kingdom of God without operating in faith. In John 20, verse 29, Jesus said, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." Faith resting on seeing needs to continue to see to keep it going. A seeing kind of faith soon withers. We live by faith, not by sight. To be believers, we should know in what we believe and in whom we believe. The most basic lesson is that we must take the word of God at face value. Without knowing God's will, faith is impossible. The Word is the eternal will of God. To question Scripture is to question the only guide we have and to question God. Our faith in God's Word is directly proportionate to the power of God coming through us. So you see, our faith becomes the conductor to God's power. We cannot generate God's power on our own through our own efforts. Christ gave us the power. We are not generators, but conductors. We are channels, not the source. The greatness of God, the greatness of the work of Christ, the greatness of the Word of God are all there, available to us at all times. But without faith, the conductor, none of that greatness avails. I could go on and on. Faith is so important that all aspects of the Christian walk and ministry that I hate to stop. Please join me on the next episode for film 4,
entitled Fire, the Ensign of the Gospel. Until next time, this is Reinhard Bonnke. God bless you. If you've been enjoying this Full Flame film series, obtain your own copy. Simply call the number on the screen, write to us, or go online to cfun.org. You'll receive 4 DVDs containing 8 films. We spent over 10 years traveling the world to bring you a film beautiful to watch, easy to listen to, and loaded with material that would equip you to win the lost for Christ. Call today